victims.org.
In the spirit of Mother's Day and its origin, you can help a child this year by donating to No More Victims as a gift to your mother this Mother's Day. No More Victims brings war-injured Iraqi children to the United States to receive the medical treatment they need. You will help bring Sally, who lost both of her legs in the war in Iraq.
My mother used to say all the time, I look after people's kids because one day I know somebody will look after my kids. I feed people's kids because I know somebody one day will feed my kids. That informs a lot of who I am as a mother. That I know that I'm not only parenting Mavis and Duncan, but I'm responsible for every child that comes through.
Honor your mother. Go to nomorevictims.org. Give today.
What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Wednesday morning, and I had to wait for that big hit to come in. It felt like sacrilege to come in any sooner. I love that big D flat chord. It's just awesome. Anyway, one of the big issues that we deal with on when it comes to the environment is flying. One of the biggest abuses to the environment is air travel. And it's a contentious issue, to say the least. And, you know, it's one of the things that I am, you know, I'm very glad about my changing professions, because I don't fly like I used to. I mean, there was a time where, you know, in the matter of 4 weeks, I could do 12, 15 flights if I wasn't careful. And anyway, from the Independent, green groups dismayed as flights soar to record high. How is it that when petrol and all this other stuff is just so bloody expensive and everything else, that we continue to have cheaper air travel than we've ever had? I don't get it. I really don't understand how this happens. You know, do we subsidize the airlines that much? Is that the deal? But it says aviation growth is soaring to an all-time high, raising the prospect of a huge increase in the greenhouse gas emissions that cause global warming. For the first time, more than 2.5 million commercial flights will be made around the world in a single month, with 2.51 million scheduled for May, says the flight information company OAG. This beats the previous record of 2.49 million flights last August. The figure marks year-on-year global growth in flight numbers of 5%, which translates as an extra 114,000 flights and 17.7 million extra passenger seats compared with May last year. The growth rate, Green campaigners said yesterday, would considerably outstrip any improvements the airlines could make in engine fuel efficiency or traffic management to bring down emissions. Aviation is the fastest growing source of carbon dioxide, the principal greenhouse gas, and also the origin of other greenhouse gases, including nitrous oxide and water vapor. I think, you know, it's like vacation travel and whatnot. I seriously think that it has to be curtailed, and I really believe that we should be jacking up the prices with a carbon tax to the point where it becomes very difficult for people to afford. I just, you know, you want to go on vacation? Take the train. It's a lot better. And I know this sounds really hard, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't fly, but I think that the price should be expensive enough that at least your carbon is being offset. You know, mandatory carbon offset into the pricing. You know, how I reckon that would be a good place to start. You know, and they say here, flights to and from Russia are up by 16% since this time last year, while flight numbers to and from the two new EU member states remain. Flights in and out of Britain are up by 7% over the year, an extra 8,000 trips, and an increase of 1.9 million or 10% in seat numbers. The increases are even more remarkable in the low-cost sector. Cheap flights to and from Spain are up 68% in a year, with seat numbers up by 77%, an increase of 2.5 million. Youch. Youch, youch, youch. Big youch. You know, and we seriously need to find a way to not consume like this. We gotta stop. Gotta stop. You know, the only flight that I want to take next is a flight from Australia back to the United States. That's it. I don't want to go off to Spain for a holiday. I mean, I'd love to go to Spain for a holiday, but I've gotten to the point that I could not justify these things. You know, a good friend of mine's out on tour with Nine Inch Nails here at the moment in Australia. And he and I were talking about it, you know, he's pretty knowledgeable on a lot of things, and you know, he even made the comment. He says, you know, I can't even think about what my personal carbon footprint will be this year, just due to the flights for doing gigs. And, you know, my former industry seriously has to wake up and clean up its act. And with that, I want to go to the track of the day, and friends of the horn know about young Jacob, who passed away recently. And I was listening to Bob tell a bit of the story, and I'm not intimately involved with any of this. However, you know, I hear a story that, you know, a baby has been deemed uninsurable. So, a little boy who has very special challenges in life is given no assistance because he can't afford it. And the hook from the Spearhead song came just flooding into my head. It's a crime to be broke in America. Now, the lyric goes into other subjects. It's probably not that close, but it was the hook that came to me. And I have been a big fan of Spearhead for a long time. Mr. Franti is just awesome. So off of the first album, Home, It's a Crime to be Broke in America. Row it, Agnes.
The needle off the record. a mutiny on a bounty in every single county. So we remember Attacor, but don't forget to pat a few others on the back. As a matter of fact, the double shot of Shakur and Geronimo Frank for anti-international. We fight for political, but if you're analytical, you know it's much more critical than that percentage is. Black is really, really whack. Can I kick a few facts? Yes, 6% in college.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Polar bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown.
Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And I love when I'm proved right without even having to check. By the way, I hope you enjoyed that Spearhead track. It's a groovy one, that, and you know, it just doesn't apply to, you know, black people or Asians or whatever. It's just kind of, if you're outside of the mainstream or the wealthy and the white, you know, if you don't have money, you just kind of are second class citizen, if not a criminal. It's just nuts. But Channel 4 in the UK aired a documentary, I think it's about a month, 6 weeks ago, called The Great Global Warming Swindle. And I had people sending me links where I could stream this thing, and I got sent some notes saying, you know, you and your program are full of it, and see, this proves that you're all out to scare people, and you just don't like business, and you just don't like, you know, capitalism and all this. Well, actually, if you want to get right down to it, I don't like capitalism. Because it's a domination process, as far as I'm concerned. It has nothing to do with having a fair go, and it has nothing to do with a society that is fair. It has to do with conquering others, and I just don't dig that. But anyway, comes out via The Independent. Channel 4 accused of falsifying data in documentary on climate change. And I knew I didn't have to watch this damn thing. I knew it. Just by, you know, some of the right-wing blogs and whatnot writing about this, saying, you know, see, Al Gore is a terrorist and all this other stuff. He's full of it and all this other crap. Well, you know what? Sorry. You all just look for stuff that supports your nonsense, and you'll get all behind it. And it says the makers of a Channel 4 documentary which claimed that global warming is a swindle have been accused of fabricating data by one of the scientists who participated in the film. The Great Global Warming Swindle was broadcast on the 8th of March and has been criticized by leading scientists for errors, distortions, and misrepresentations. The film has also been referred to the regulatory watchdog Ofcom, which is considering a complaint from 37 senior scientists that the program breached the broadcasting code on the misrepresentation of views and facts. Now, even a climate skeptic whose dissenting views were used in the film were used by the filmmakers to bolster their claim about the lies and swindles of global warming has accused the documentary of promulgating falsehoods. Agel Friis Christensen, director of the Danish National Space Center, has issued a statement accusing the filmmakers of fabricating data based on his work looking at the links between solar activity and global temperatures. And they were so bad, they even misrepresented someone who was on their side. Dr. Friis Christensen said that a graph he had produced some years ago showed the link between fluctuations in global temperatures and changes in solar activity, sunspot cycles over the past 400 years, had been doctored. The documentary used the graph to pour scorn on the idea that global warming in recent decades is the result of man-made emissions of carbon dioxide. Solar activity, the program stated, is the cause of global warming in the late 20th century. Right. We have reason to believe that parts of the graph were made up of fabricated data that were presented as genuine. The inclusion of the artificial data is both misleading and pointless. So the guy who actually was responsible for it, or the concept. Secondly, although the commentary during the presentation of the graph is consistent with the conclusions of the paper from which the figure originates, it incorrectly rules out a contribution by anthropogenic, meaning man-made, greenhouse gases to 20th century global warming, he said. Dr. Christensen, a physicist, believes that solar cycles play an important role in climate change and that not enough effort has gone into addressing the theory. The fabricated data did not, he said, make any difference to the overall view he takes, but he is still critical of the way the film handled the scientific evidence. Asked by The Independent whether the documentary was scientifically accurate, Dr. Christensen said, "No, I think several points were not explained in a way that I, as a scientist, would have explained them. It's obvious it's not accurate." The Channel 4 program also used out-of-date solar cycle data relating to the past 30 or 40 years, which made it appear as if temperatures and solar activity were rising together when in fact solar activity has leveled off for the past few decades. After 1985, we don't see any rise or shortening of the solar cycles compared to what we saw in the temperature record, Mr. Christensen said. He continues saying, Christensen is the second scientist to appear on the program who has criticized the way the film was made. Professor Carl Wunsch of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology said the way that his interview was edited gave the misleading impression that he was not concerned about rising levels of carbon dioxide, a diametrically opposite view to his stated position. Martin Durkin, who also wrote and directed the program, was unavailable for comment, funny that, but admitted in an email that to Mr. Rive that the graph was wrong. Thank you for highlighting the error on the 400-year graph. It is an annoying mistake which all of us missed and is being fixed for all future transmissions of the film. It doesn't alter our argument. Oh, really? One of the things you based it on, that you falsified, doesn't actually make any difference, huh? That's called cherry picking. However, the graph and its fabricated data will still be included in the DVD of the program, which went on sale yesterday. The advertising for the DVD says, "Everything you've ever been told about global warming is probably untrue. This film blows the whistle on the biggest swindle in modern history." Now, the biggest swindle in modern history has been the fact that we've been playing denial on this issue for decades. And people have been swindled into the idea that it's either the economy or the environment. No, it's both. And that all us greenies, we just want to take away your way of life. No, we don't. But we're trying to save ours. We're trying to save all of ours. Because there ain't going to be no way of life when there ain't no life left. I would think having to go toe to toe with some of these people you'd have to almost you'd either be forced to resort or accidentally resort to speaking to them as though they're children. The piece ends, it says, so serious and fundamental are the misrepresentations that the distribution of the DVD without the removal amounts to nothing more than an exercise in misleading the public. Bingo. Bingo. Right on the head. Absolutely right on the head. And I saw so many posts. YouTube had people with clips, you know, and it was all these just absolute nut jobbers going, see, look, you know, and it's that idea that, you know, 99% of scientists agree on the science. And then you have these couple of others that don't, and they want to make, and they try to portray it as though, you know, it's like a 50-50 kind of thing going on either side of the discussion. No, we're talking 99-1, okay? 99-1. And I think that 1% is just absolutely beginning to fall apart, and so they scream louder and louder and louder and louder, which I've got something on all that screaming when we come back. So we're going to take our final break here for this Wednesday morning on Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman. The steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here for a Wednesday, and we're getting down to the end of things. And I was just about to go on to this really, really great piece on Groovy Green. However, I did just get an email from a good friend, Lottie, and reminding me about this thing with Chevron settling its case on the Oil for Food program. And the thing that I need to remind everyone about that is you've heard me speak at great length about the Australian Wheat Board having put $300 million into Saddam's coffers to get Australian wheat into Iraq pre-war. So is this how it worked? Chevron bought the oil, which then bought the food, and both sides are funneling money to Saddam in kickbacks. And yet none of these people knew? No one knew? Please. You know, we had this single desk wheat trading system, you know, outfit here. You're telling me that none of these people knew? Please. You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. It's beyond the pale to actually, you know, even think that you can snow people with this. But yet Johnny Howard's done a good job of it here, and somehow he's been able to not be held accountable for any of it. However, before we go, I got to read you this great little piece from Groovy Green. Wright steps up attacks on celebrity environmental activists. And it says, you know, the anti-liberal crowd is frightened when every single cheap shot opportunity is taken. Not surprisingly, they're stepping up the attacks on the environmental front in significant numbers. One blog worth reading for this angle is Planet Gore. And here's the thing. I like the site. I enjoy the perspective of writers from the other side, simply because I believe it's important to understand where they're coming from. I don't agree with most of what they write about, but I don't disrespect their opinion either. That being said, there's plenty of mudslinging and cry me a river talk to make me want to send them towels and tissues. Writer Jim Manzi has apparently been beaten up by Lori David on several occasions. That, or she's eaten his children, pissed on their clothing, and mentally abused him. The guy is so offended by her comments on global warming that he can't take it anymore. In a recent post, Manzi took David to task over her carbon footprint, criticizing her for light green tactics and calling her a hypocrite. Here's the thing, Jim. I'm pretty sure everyone knows that celebrities just like you and me are hypocrites. If you partake in the modern world, no matter how green you appear, you're still making an impact somewhere. David isn't telling people to sell off their homes and live in yurts. She's attempting to spread a message of practical environmentalism, small steps that people can take not only to save energy but also save money. If her message makes even a small impact on people, it would mean huge savings in energy consumption. And this is the bit that I completely agree with. I think conservatives are having issues with the environmental movement, because instead of making people feel guilty, we're starting to see a transition of making people feel empowered. This is making them uneasy because empowered people push for change. And what are these changes? Harder regulations on emissions, more efficient vehicles, less consumption of energy, alternative sources of fuel, sustainable urban developments, less resistance less reliance on foreign resources, healthier homes, etc. If this sounds like a bunch of bullshit to Manzi, then his definition of progress must embrace business as usual. Unfortunately, the very thing that environmentalists have wanted for so many years, to make the earth a talking point during elections, is bringing out the bad with the good. Debate, discussion, point, counterpoint. These are all important and valuable aspects of any good society. It's immature, however, to brand the efforts of people pushing real changes that can make a difference on so many fronts as wacky and foolish. But hey, as Planet Glory proves time and time again, whining is a powerful asset, especially if you've got the world's smallest violin in your pocket. I love it. I love it. Beautiful bit of writing. Beautiful. And, you know, and I think that is the, I think that is such a crucial comment. People are starting to feel empowered by the simple fact that the environment is really becoming a crucial issue on people's minds. You know, and I mean, I do plenty of professing about how green I am, but I don't actually claim to be a person who leaves no impact. It's virtually impossible. You know, it's virtually impossible to be, you know, like absolutely perfectly green. You know, just living in a modern house in any modern city. You know, I run 3 computers here. However, since I got my laptop, I'm using primarily that for a whole bunch of reasons, but one of them being the fact that I know that it uses considerably less energy than my tower. You know, again, simple things, you know, and we've even taken it further than most people, you know, 100% renewable energy bought through the power company. You know, our hand crank clothes washer, it's still my my favorite thing that we've done. And my next thing, Gail and I went shopping over the weekend for supplies to build a raised veggie bed in our backyard. And one of the things that I've been dying to get was a weed whacker. I haven't had a weed whacker. And so I got me a weed whacker. And right next to the weed whackers, in the selection of gas-powered lawnmowers, and this surprised me, were 3 different models of manual rotary lawnmowers. You know, the old kind with the spinning, back-spinning blades with catchers on them, starting at $70 Australian. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's cheap. And I was checking them out, and they're, you know, they're just, you know, smooth. And I've made a decision. By the time I run out of the petrol that I've already bought for our lawnmower, as before that's used up, which I've got like 1 or 2 more goes left, I am buying one of those. Because again, it's another step. Why do I have to be pumping out fumes to mow my small little yard? I don't see that it's going to take me any longer than it does now. It's not that big. Yards aren't that big in Sydney. You know? So, and I know that I take it further than a lot of people do, but it's kind of, it's my passion. I do this program. I feel that I have to lead by example. And if, you know, I don't expect everyone to do the things that we have done. Not all of them. But just pick up 1 or 2. And maybe, and you know, and you all got to throw stuff back at me, what you're doing. Because the more that you tell people about the things that you've done and the money that you've saved, I mean, this is where it's all win-win. It, I don't know, I just don't see where there can be any argument. But anyway, we're running out of time, folks, coming up to the end of the day. So I want to thank Agnes Kincaid for producing today's program. You rock. Thank you to Peter Godbold for everything that he does for us. The mods, the bloggers, the carpenters, everybody. You all rock. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll catch you tomorrow.
I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dogfish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness, the loneliness of being misunderstood. More pointedly, the loneliness of being afraid to allow myself to be understood. Music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that I...
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. Turkey today continues to move troops to its border with northern Iraq, where 100,000 are already amassed. Turkish airplanes and attack helicopters have been battering Kurdish strongholds in Iraq since Sunday. Diplomatic efforts continue in Ankara. Hundreds of armed riot police have suddenly moved into the streets of Myanmar's capital. Today is the one-month anniversary of violent pro-democracy demonstrations there. In California, authorities combing fire-ravaged acreage in the San Diego area found 6 burned bodies. A dozen deaths and 50 injuries are being blamed on the fire-related causes. The wildfires led to the largest evacuation in recent U.S. history. Calmer winds and cooler temperatures are helping firefighters bring several blazes under control. Other major fires are still only 30% contained this morning. At least 2 wildfires are thought to be the work of arsonists. 4 suspects have been arrested, 1 shot to death by police. The U.S. commander of the most advanced nuclear attack submarine in the world has been removed from duty for failing to conduct basic mandatory safety tests and then lying about it in doctored ship's logs. Despite UN disapproval, Israel says it will soon cut off electricity and fuel supplies to Gaza. Israel's defense minister says the move is meant to punish the region for Palestinian rocket attacks into his country. Serbia's prime minister is warning the West his country will go to extremes to defend Serb rights in Kosovo and Republika Srpska, Bosnia's Serb territory. South Korea's foreign minister announced today that 28,000 U.S. troops stationed in his country will remain, even if South and North Korea sign a peace deal replacing its 54-year-old armistice. Pyongyang wants American troops to leave the Korean Peninsula. Government soldiers in Chad today arrested 9 French humanitarian aid workers who were trying to fly more than 100 orphans under the age of 8 out of the war-ravaged Darfur. The French government is protesting. The whereabouts of the aid workers and children is unknown. In Atlanta, Georgia's government announced it will fight the state's record-breaking drought by building new reservoirs.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Less than 10 months before the start of the Beijing Olympics, the IOC says the air is so dangerously polluted in China, some events may need to be postponed. Another Mattel recall of China-made toys contaminated by lead involved are Fisher-Price Go Diego Go Animal Rescue Boat sold in the U.S., Britain, Canada, and Ireland. Also, Dollar Tree and Joanne stores have recalled China-made children's toys and jewelry because of the toxic levels of lead. Shares of Comcast tumbled nearly 11% after it posted a 54% plunge in quarterly net profit. The nation's largest TV cable operator also announced it lost more basic video subscribers than originally anticipated. The U.S. announced British Petroleum will pay about $425 million in fines for a deadly explosion in a Texas refinery and a major oil leak on the Alaska pipeline. BP was also found guilty of conspiring to corner the propane market to drive up prices. Light sweet crude is trading at $91.41 a barrel, gold at $779.90 an ounce. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 36 points, NASDAQ up 10, S&P 500 is flat. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Good morning, everybody. Wake the hell up. It's time once again for the Cup Joe Radio Show. I'm your host, Joe Vecchio. How are you doing today? Wake up! How's everybody today? Oh, I hope you're having a good day. And actually, I should try not to be so damn cheerful after what happened yesterday. But I just can't help it. How's everybody today? It is a beautiful day here in Chicago. It was wonderful yesterday. It was about 50 degrees, and it's going to be bad today. By the way, one of the things I neglected to mention yesterday was that over the weekend, Chicago got notified that they are now the official United States bid for the 2006 Summer Olympics, and that ought to be very interesting if we get the nod. Chicago would be a great venue to host the Olympics. One of the reasons is that all the venues would be very close to each other, so that people wouldn't have to travel so much. And I'm sure they can run it much more efficiently than Atlanta in 96. I was there in Atlanta in 96, and you would not believe the problems that they have. So congratulations to Chicago. There are a lot of other cities that they're competing with, including Tokyo, and Paris, I believe, is in on that too. So we will see what happens. John Fox from Australia said, don't do it. Olympics sucks for any host city. Well, you know, yes and no. It all depends. With Mayor Daley, you never know. You know, he could strong-arm a few people into making a profit out of it. But it didn't do too badly for Atlanta, really, as far as a lot of stuff is concerned, because they did get Turner Field out of it. For what a lot of people don't know, Turner Field is where the Atlanta Braves play, by the way. For people who don't know, it was originally the Olympic Stadium, and when the Olympics were over, they tore down half of it, basically, made it into a parking lot, and then they finished a new ballpark. And the old stadium, Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, which has a lot of history there, that's where Hank Aaron hit number 715, that was just torn down and turned into a more bigger parking lot. So, and you know, Atlanta, Ray Hinckley is telling in the chat room there, Ray Hinckley is saying that Atlanta didn't really have time to prepare. The problem with Atlanta was that, like a lot of the South and a lot of the way they run business down there, they put on a really, really good show, but they really didn't have the stuff to back it up. It was just kind of like on a wing and a prayer. And Atlanta is actually, I found out, it was the only city to ever get the Olympics on its first attempt to try. And they had never tried before. Chicago, I believe, tried in the 20s or 30s or something like that. So they had an opportunity before. But I think it would be a really good venue for the Olympics. And I know it's all corporate now, and it's all about, you know, profits and stuff like that and sponsorships but I still can't change my feeling. It's the Olympics. It's an important thing. I think they need to make some changes, certainly, but it's still a wonderful thing to be a part of. You know, it's a real good thing. So, and yes, they had the Olympics in Sydney, and I remember the sight of seeing the Sydney Opera House and what a beautiful building it is. You know, so I understand how John Fox feels. John Fox, of course, is the host of Foxed Up, who's on after my show, and he lives in Australia. And I understand how he feels, and you know, as much as I want to be cynical about it, as much as I probably should be cynical about it, I really would like the idea of Chicago getting the Olympics. I really would. So we'll see what happens. When I was in Atlanta, I actually worked for NBC. And it was one of the, I don't want to say it was a hard job, because the job itself wasn't difficult. I was just the driver. And you got to meet a lot of the celebrities and a lot of the athletes, you know, and all that sort of stuff. But it was long shifts. It was like 12-hour days, and we worked the whole Olympics. So I worked 12 hours a day for like 43 straight days. It was only $6.40 an hour, but you're making so much overtime, it kind of compensates for that. Plus, you get free food because you have the NBC commissary there. So, at any rate, I hope Chicago gets it. I really do. And in fact, it was funny. I was noticing they had the computer graphics, and they were showing where the rowing would be. It would be right on along Lake Michigan. And I thought, why not just have it rowing down the river, the river that goes right through the Chicago. I just don't know if the river is wide enough, but that would be kind of fun to have people all lined along the streets and over the bridges watching the rowers go. Of course, you'd always get some schmuck with a beer bottle throwing a beer bottle at somebody. Hey, look at that guy. Oh, he lost. There goes your medal, pal. Some guy taking a whiz over the bridge. Ah! We're just coloring the river, that's all. Oh, man. I was trying to think of... I gotta get a list of like top 10 rejected events. Like the 100-meter run with Al Capone chasing you with a machine gun or something like that. Or escape from Al Capone's vault. Better one. That would be a Chicago only Olympic event. Escape from Al Capone's vault. Oh man. I am going to talk about what happened in the college yesterday, but not right now, not right just yet. And because you know there's so much going on as always, and yet you try to keep track of everything. But I do want to point out something that Juan Cole said today before I get into, because I want to talk about the whole thing from an issue, from a point of view of gun control, and I want to spend the next 15 minutes after the break talking about that. Juan called out that in Baghdad, they have one of those at least every day. Actually, they have two of those every day. What am I saying? And sometimes much larger. And if you count the whole of Iraq, there are maybe 500 or so people, according to Professor Cole, maybe 500 people throughout the country if you're counting criminal and tribal violence. That's every day. Could you imagine that happening in this country every single day? And, you know, Iraq doesn't have as many people as the United States, you know. And, you know, we caused that. I mean, look, let's face facts. We may not have liked Saddam Hussein very much, but the fact of the matter is when he was running the country, it was at least stable. You know, and obviously we can't go back to giving it, we can't just give it back to Saddam Hussein because we can kill him. We frickin' killed him. And now we have a failed state. And I was watching, it was a British show, I forget the gentleman's name, who was interviewing John Bolton, that lunatic that George Bush put as our ambassador to the United Nations, a guy who hates the United Nations. That's just typical of the Bush administration. You know, if you want to destroy something, you put somebody in charge of it who hates it. That's how you do it. And the guy, Bolton was arguing, so, well, you know, we basically have two different things there, the getting rid of Saddam Hussein, which I still think was a good idea in retrospect, and how we handled it, which I think was a very bad idea. You know, we should have handed it over to the Iraqis a lot sooner. Excuse me. First of all, you go in there and you bomb the hell out of a country and you take away their entire political infrastructure, every single thing that goes on there, and you expect nice things to happen? You expect nice stuff to happen? You didn't have a plan. It's all corporate. It's a wing and a prayer crap. You know, it's how corporations think, and it's how this administration thinks. You want a corporate presidency, this is what you've got. Because anybody who's worked for a big corporation knows that's exactly how it works. The guy makes a stupid decision, and everybody's got to follow along if you want to keep your job. John, I am the Walrus Bolton. Let's take a break. It's a quarter after. Let's take a Beatles break. And we'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement. I'm back! That's right, the rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. People for the American Way, PFAW.org, is dishonestly representing the dangers of Congressman Rush Holt's election reform bill now fast-tracking through Congress. Contact PFAW.org today and let them know they need to stand up for the voters and not the voting machine companies. Send email to PFAW at PFAW.org. You can get more information at bradblog.com/Holt. Your democracy depends on it.
Thank you.
Have you ever been rewarded for doing the right thing, returning a lost wallet, putting your neighbor's cows back in the pasture? Maybe now is your chance. The new Conservation Security Program rewards farmers and ranchers for taking care of the land, keeping water clean and soil healthy. To see if you qualify for a Conservation Security Program payment, take the self-assessment. Contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office or USDA Service Center.
I can't thank you enough.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. The number to call in if you want to call in, 1-304-658-5453, 1-304-658-5453, and you can get in here and talk to me. And if you want to, you know, go into the Head On Radio Network chat room, you can talk to some of the smartest people on the Internet. Just go to headonradionetwork.com, scroll down to the right, and you'll see a little link that says chat room, and just click on that, put in the username, and you get there, and you can talk to some of the smartest people out there, and including some of our other hosts. John Fox is out there, and Bob Kincaid is out there, and Benedict, and Texas Betsy, and Sue is there, and John Fox. And we're all out there. We're all out there. So come on in and talk to these people. And talk to me, too. That number, once again, was 304. Let me see. Scroll back up to it again.